The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You brought this up earlier about you and I watching the game together.
That's the first game we've ever watched together live that I remember.
Isn't that funny?
I know, it's wild.
We've been doing the show almost 2 years.
And we've watched a ton of football games together. But we've done it through a film breakdown version.
Well, that, or we're both at the stadium and not sitting in the same spot.
Yeah.
And we're both watching the same game, and there's always a couple of text messages back and forth. Man, did you see that? Did you see this? Did you see that? Did you see the – I'm usually talking about something up front. Man, did you see that pass-off of that twist stunt up front between the guard and the center on that last play? And you're like – absolutely did not see that.
Let me go back and watch it.
And you'll drop something from Arch about them being in cover three, and I'm like, nope, wasn't paying attention to the back end on that play. Nope, it's all happening in the box.
Well, and it's also who taught you how to watch football, or you really learned breaking film down from being in an offensive line room.
Yes,
and having an offensive line coach who was looking at, like, Jeff Van Note was the first year I was on Falcons, I was working with Jeff Van Note in the pregame. I was producing. And he said something like you just said. You know, did you see him pass off that stunt? And I said, Jeff, how the hell are you watching this game? I didn't see any of that.
Yeah.
He goes, you watching the quarterback? And I go, yeah. He goes, because you're watching the ball. I go, stop watching the ball. He goes, watch the game inside out. Watch the line, and everything forms, and your eyes go each way. One goes towards the secondary and try to go towards the quarterback, try to see everything as you widen out.
Yeah.
And
he's so right. If you just look back on the defense side of the ball and just kind of like broadly look at the spacing, you'll get an understanding.
Yeah.
And honestly, I want to talk about the offensive lines from both of these teams last night, but the secondary part is probably something I wish I could pay attention to more. It's just literally I'm just programmed.
Well,
it's all about the stunts up front.
And that's Arch. Like, a play will happen, and we haven't even gotten a replay yet. And I'll be like, because I'm spotting for Wes, and I'm watching the ball. So first thing I do is I come up. I want to see who's, like, is there any changes on the offense so I can help Wes? And he normally doesn't need that much because he's so sharp on that stuff. But then I look at the line, right? Who's in defensively that might make a play? And then I want to look at their secondary to see what covers they're in, if I can figure it out. But Arch will see that McGarry missed a block over here.
Right.
But also see that if he did not miss it, he's got, you know, Kadarryl Hodge running free down a skinny post.
And that's why Arch is the best, because I would never be able to see that.
But that's the way. And then I go back and I watch it, and you can see it play out exactly how you described it. I think that's how you can learn, to me.
Well, speaking of skinny posts, how about Christian Gray with the big interception last night for Notre Dame and Drew Aller? We talked about it yesterday. I thought maybe they could force him into a mistake or two. It came at the worst possible time, possibly in his career, that he throws the interception right there in his own territory to Notre Dame and Christian Gray. They pick it off a couple of plays later. They're nailing a field goal that'll send them to the college football playoff national championship game.
Yeah, you said it about Aller. I said it about Riley Leonard, if you remember. I said he'll throw you one if you can. You know, he had thrown three interceptions of his last five games, through two more last night. But, you know, Notre Dame's defense was able to hold these two teams. This reminded me, and the people are going to get irked as hell at me, but this reminded me of, like, Alabama, Georgia, with a little less speed at the wide receiver positions. Like, but do you see the way they played in the trenches, the way the running backs were, both quarterbacks were at times not afraid to pull it down and take off. Now, Riley Leonard is more of a runner, but Drew Aller had a couple of times where he took off. He ran a little bit more than I feel like I've seen him do normally.
Well, look, we got 2 minutes. I this is my biggest question. I want to ask you this because I do feel a certain way. Would either of these teams, let's just throw both of them in that, either of these teams beat the Ohio State team that you saw play Oregon?
And in fact, I said that to my, we watched like three quarters together, and I was sitting there when I went back and I was watching the fourth quarter, and I said, because I think Penn State was winning, and I sit there and it hit me. I said, they can't beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
I was like, they can't score. They can't score enough. And that's my problem for Texas. To me, Texas is just like both of those teams that we just saw offensively, but they do it more through the air. But neither both at both times, teams have trouble scoring. They can't finish. They'll turn the ball over in inopportune times. It was also, remember that I told you it would be 13-10 or 34-31 or something like that? It was both. The first half was a 10-0 ball game, and then they just exploded in the
second
half.
I think there was 6 minutes left in the third when it was 10-10. The over-under yesterday was 45.5 that I got it at. I took the over, and at midway through the third quarter, I'm like, boy, that's a busted bet. There ain't no way this game's hitting the over. Then all of a sudden, they both throw it into overdrive, trade touchdowns, going back and forth, trade explosives. And to your point, I think that Texas at least has the ability to create an explosive. I don't think Penn State has that. And I'm not sure Notre Dame has that. Like, they don't have that. And I'm saying that as like a general statement. I'm not saying down in, down out, because obviously you can see last night they both created explosive plays in the passing game. But it just seems like down in and down out, when you're punching and counterpunching and going back and forth, and you look at what Penn State and Notre Dame has, Texas at least has those guys out wide that you feel like by themselves can hit a game breaker. Neither one of those teams last night seemed to have that. I'm not saying that neither one of those can win. And Notre Dame is going to stand every chance of winning this game. But they're going to have to play a perfect game, because if they don't completely gang tackle on every play, Ohio State is going to, or Texas, whichever one they end up facing, is going to break it open within one strike.
Yeah, defense, both of these teams' front sevens can win them, and could have won them as far as Penn State or Notre Dame. Their front sevens could single-handedly keep them in a game with Texas. Ohio State, we've kind of seen it a little bit with Penn State already, and Oregon, we saw that. But to that point, Notre Dame can play that dirty water. The problem is Ohio State and Texas have three or four guys on the perimeter that can bust it, right? It appears that Notre Dame and Penn State only had 1 to 2. You know, Jeremiah Love was a guy that's outstanding. Tyler Warren and Singleton for Penn State, and Jeremiah Love and the receiver that scored the big touchdown obviously had a big play but the defender falls down at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
He slips. And then the juke move was pretty badass. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, he stuck his foot in the ground and was able to cut it back towards the middle field. And of course, you don't have any other defenders nearby. There's nobody for the safety to get help for the safety. He cuts it back in the middle field. He just has to outrun everybody.
But it just feels like Texas and Ohio State are known a little bit more for scoring. And that, I don't know if anybody can beat Ohio State right now.
I'm not sure they can either. It'll be interesting to see which version of Ohio State shows up tonight. We'll continue breaking that down, obviously, throughout the show.